like to first start out before I get into my message. I wanted to reinforce and especially since some of the words have been that has just preceded, I want to call your attention again. I want everyone to be very aware of this because I think that it involves all of God's children. I know specifically in these particular words, sometimes God uses males in the wording of certain places in the Bible. Men or males or head of households or those more in responsible for the household and the nurturing of it. But this, I believe, applies to all of us. And I'd like to call your attention to Deuteronomy 16 and 16 because this is part of this period that we're talking about in these verses. In Deuteronomy 16, 16, there is to be, I am on the wrong one. This involves the festivals of the Lord on a yearly basis, and we need to keep, we will have these stated again. As everybody knows, the festivals of the Lord is relatively new to our church, and how we're to keep it, what all the implications are. But in Deuteronomy 16 and 16, we are instructed, 3 times in a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place in which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Booths. And they are not to appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which he has given you. 3 times in a year, this is stated at those particular 3 festivals, and they are referred to as the 3 great national festivals of the Lord. I'd also like for you to notice that in verse 11 and 14, it expands this somewhat. Let's see what it says in verse 11. And as you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter and your male and female servants and the Levite who is in your town and the stranger and the orphan and the widow who are in your midst, in the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. And let's go to 14. And you shall rejoice in your feast. You and your son and your daughter and your male and female servants and the Levite and the stranger and the orphan and the widow who are in your towns. Do you see how this includes what we would call all of the children of the Lord? And these definitely are appointments that we have with God. And it's talking about the 3 national festivals as well, that it's specifically calling them out. And let's see why it says, first, how we are to bring ourselves to God. It's calls, all of these festivals are calls for all of us to be present. We have appointments with the Lord. That's why they're called the appointed times of the Lord in Leviticus 23. And let's see in verse 15 what it says about why we are to do this or because of what. In verse 15 of Deuteronomy 16, 7 days you shall celebrate a feast to the Lord your God in the place in which the Lord chooses, because Now, this is because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you will be altogether joyful. Do you want blessings? Do you want God to do things for you? This is partly how. Unless that is the verse 15. And I would like to also direct to Deuteronomy 28. And we can see the reverse side of it. If we don't do, what can we expect? And I say, in the balance of all of this, if we want God's blessings, we need to be obedient to Him. We need to recognize Him. We need to constantly go before Him. He will bless us as we hold ourselves true to Him and do those commands and keep His laws and His statutes as His Word says. But what if about the ones who chooses not to? We have a because in that regard. Deuteronomy 28, 45. Let's go to that. Deuteronomy 28 and 45. So all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed. Because, this is speaking of the ones that go against God and His ways. Because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping His commandments and His statutes which He commanded you. And let's go to the verse 47 now. 46 says, these shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever. Because, in verse 47, you did not serve the Lord your God. How? And how are you to come to Him with blessings? With joy. And we stated that last Sabbath. We're to go to Him with our tithes, with our offerings of all the different types, and sacrifices of all types. We are to go to Him with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. So you see, in many aspects of our life, blessings and curses are in the balances. God wants us to respond to Him. And let us never forget that it is to be toward Him with joy and with thanksgiving and rejoicing as we do this. Rejoicing as we participate in these festivals or appointed times, your appointments to come to the Lord, to present yourself in the place in which He chooses and places His name. I'd like to now go to my message. My scripture reading is in Leviticus. Leviticus 23, starting at the 34th verse. Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, on the 15th of this seventh month is the feast of booths for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day is the holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work of any kind. For 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation and present an offering by fire to the Lord. It is an assembly. You shall do no laborious work. Now listen. These are the appointed times of the Lord. That means your appointment days with the Lord. These are the appointed times of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, that means holy assemblies, get-togethers, to present offerings by fire to the Lord. burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifices and drink offerings, each day's matter on its own day. Besides those of the Sabbath of the Lord, and besides your gifts, and besides all your votive and free will offerings, which you give to the Lord, on exactly the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the crops of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days. That was this last week, the Feast of Booths, ending yesterday. 7 days. With a rest on the first day, that was last Sabbath, and a rest on the 8th day, that's today. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessed time of the year, this time of gathering in the harvest, this time, Lord, of those that you call coming to you. And Heavenly Father, we know that these festival days have many different applications. And Heavenly Father, we ask for your lead and your guidance in helping us to recognize all of these implications of the days. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless the words that we speak and help it to help each one of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask and amen. And my text is the verse 36 of Leviticus 23. And it reads, "For 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation and present an offering by fire to the Lord. It is an assembly. You shall do no laborious work." This is the 8th day spoken of in Leviticus 23, 36, and 39. It is also spoken of by some as the last great day. And perhaps that's because it is separated by God in His descriptions by calling it the 8th day. And we need to keep in mind that this is the last day of all of the appointment days, the appointed times of the Lord, as spoken of many places in the Bible, but particularly in that Leviticus 23 chapter. This 8th day has a specific connection to tabernacles due to it being called the 8th day. The preceding 7 days are those days that is the festival of booths or tabernacles. And therefore, calling this the 8th day, you can see how it's connected to the 7 before. Also, it has implications much beyond tabernacles, separate and distinct from tabernacles. Tabernacles was to be celebrated by dwelling in temporary huts for the 7 days, which ended yesterday. And as doing so, then it was a reminder of the children of Israel dwelling in temporary huts as they went from Egypt in the captivity back to the promised land. This is in the 7 days with the 8th following. You can read about that in Leviticus 23 and 40. Let's go to that. Leviticus 23 and 40. "Now on the first day you shall take for yourself the foliage of beautiful trees, palm branches and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days.
You shall thus celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall live in booths for 7 days. All the native born in Israel shall live in booths. And this was a celebration for the last 7 days. So you can see how the connection is there to the eighth day. And we have to ask questions about that day. What are the implications? And we find that there are many within God's Word. It must be a glorious and wonderful time, obviously beyond our wildest imagination, because we know that any time the word seven, the number seven is used, and in this case, the preceding 7 days of tabernacles, we know that that's indication of perfection. Seven, perfection. Seven, complete. So this day is obviously special. Special in all of its past implications as well as its future. It is beyond perfection. It has implications beyond the normal. To Orthodox Jews, this day is called Shemini Atzeret, representing a day that is beyond time. Isn't that interesting? To the Orthodox Jews, this day, today is that eighth day we're talking about, representing that which is beyond time. Let's go to John 7 and 37. We want to find out some more about this day that is referred to as the eighth day and others the last great day. Now notice how the wording is here in this particular translation of the Bible. And some don't get the connection of the festival days or feast days, the same thing, same meaning. Many don't get the connection or the being relevant for people today, for the Christian church. But Jesus Christ did it. Jesus Christ participated in the festivals of the Lord. The Apostle Paul did this. Jesus is our example. Why would we not follow him on this? On John 7, 37, now on the last day. What last day? Now on the last day, the great day of the feast. Reading right before that, you will see that the wordings specifically detail this as being the festival of booths. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." This day has implications of water, of a satisfaction of thirst beyond that is normal, beyond our comprehension. In verse 38, Jesus says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." What's all the implications there? He who believes in me, in Jesus Christ, the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Let's go for a connection there in a couple of places. Let's go to Ezekiel 47 and look at verse 12. Ezekiel 47 and 12. by the river, on its bank, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail, for they will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Have you ever seen a tree like that? Have you ever seen living waters like that? I'd like to go to now to Revelation 22 and start at verse 1. Let's see a connection to Ezekiel 47 and 12. And you can read the whole chapter of Ezekiel 47 and you'll get much more connection. Revelation 22 and 1. And of course, this is futuristic. It's things that no one has seen or has not happened to this point. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on the other side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. See how that's related? There will no longer be any curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And His bondservants will serve Him. And they will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. They will see His face. And we're talking about a face that has not been viewed by humans before. And there will be no longer any night. And they will not have the need, not have need of the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his bondservants the things which soon must take place. This is beyond. It's beyond our time. It's futuristic. And this day is implications of that period of time beyond. Last week I let you know of a word, skenoo. It's a Greek word which means dwelling or tabernacling. And that word, to dwell, was used to tell of Yeshua's dwelling with men on this earth. And of course, we know the Son of God was born for our information, scholars believe, and I believe, that Jesus Christ was likely born on the first day of Tabernacles. God dwelling with men. Jesus Christ, Yeshua, dwelling with men. Yet a week ago today was that particular day of this year and commemoration of that. So that Greek word, dwell, was used in regard to God dwelling with men on this earth. And so it was also used to tell of the Father, Yahweh, coming to dwell at the end, beyond even the millennial period, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth, which of course is still futuristic to us. And this of the Father actually himself dwelling on this earth with us goes out to that period beyond, fulfilling the eighth day of tabernacles. It's beyond time as we think of it, beyond perfection or completion as we think of it. That's why it's referred to as the eighth day, the last great day. In Jewish thought, the number eight represents eternity and how relative that is. Eternity with God as God dwells with us. Thinking of today as being called the last great day, we connect it and remember it with what people read and know as the great white throne time period, the great white throne judgment. Let's go to Revelation 20 and start at verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence the earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades gave up, or hell gave up, the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So we see that at that great white throne judgment, beyond the millennial period, the dead, small and great, stand, and they're judged according to their deeds from the books and the book of life. And we read in Revelation 20:14, we all know the fear of death, don't we? Revelation 20:14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. There's going to come a time in which there will be no more death. And hell itself, with Satan and everyone else in it, will be destroyed. Let's go to Revelation 21 and 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. Do you see that word, dwell? He will dwell among them. That will be permanent. There will be no more separation at that time. That's beyond our comprehension. That's beyond what we know of as of today. In Revelation 21, 1, let's see what's then going to happen. And all of this is brought to our remembrance on this day that is beyond time. This day that is virtually beyond our comprehension. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. So you see, new heaven, new earth, coming down out of heaven from God. And in verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. God dwells among men. The Father with us in that new heaven and new earth. And let's see what it says in verse 7. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son, my daughter. Do you see how wonderful that is? Do you see why God the Father has a son? That's spoken of, an only begotten Son. Why the Almighty Creator God is referred to as a loving Father? Why in the Gospels we are referred to as sons and daughters of God in His family? It's a family thing. God and His family. And we are part of that as we accept Him. And as we learn of Him and try to keep ourselves right in regard to Him and obey His laws and His commandments and His statutes. This is what God wants of us. This is what the festival days are all about. He wants more of our attention. He wants us to highly regard these appointed days, these appointment times that we have with Him. He wants us to become closer to Him, more like Him, less of ourselves, more like His Son that we can read about in our Bible anytime we want. He wants us to be more like His Son, more like He Himself, the Father, and dying out, as it can be expressed, to ourself. In verse 5 of Revelation 21, and he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Do you get the connection of the last great day? Do you get the connection of what God has in store for His children? For us, the ones who respond to Him in faith and through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Let's go to Revelation 7 and verse 15, and I'm closing. Revelation 7, verse 15. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tabernacle over them. It's speaking of those sons and daughters of Him, of His, who have been resurrected at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, those who have come dead and alive from the earth, resurrected, He's going to spread His tabernacle over them. And let's go to Revelation 22 and verse 5. And you see there, God will wipe every tear from every eye at that time that He calls you up to Him. Revelation 22 and 5. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. That's beyond anything that we can even read about in God's Word. Do you see how you have so much to live for and so much to have faith in God for? Do you see how His plan is even beyond our wildest imagination and comprehension? That it is beautiful beyond what we can imagine. That is more wonderful and glorious. That He has plans for us that would just put us in to space. We will rule and reign with Him forever and ever. And we will rule as kings and priests and rulers, just like His Word states. Let's trust our lives with Him and keep our lives close to Him, always being obedient to His commands and His laws and His statutes and His ordinances. Stand with me in prayer.